Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On NBA Network. I am Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 SanAntonio.com. The Spurs Zone. Your San Antonio Spurs are coming off a win. It was a little too close for comfort towards the end, but nevertheless, a win is a win. 120-118 over the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix. And the Spurs hopefully can duplicate another win as they they'll visit the New Orleans Pelicans tomorrow night. Yeah, Zion is back. And of course, he would be against your San Antonio Spurs. But it is the midpoint of the Spurs season. And by this point, fans should know already what the team is, or maybe what could be, or if they are what they are. What do fans think about that? We're going to be talking to a Spurs fan in a few minutes about the state of the Spurs fan base. What do they think about the Spurs at the halfway point? And while we got the Spurs fan on, might as well ask him about Bryn Forbes. Like, Bryn Forbes had a phenomenal game versus the Suns, broke his career high of 7 made threes, but he is a free agent after the season. Do Spurs fans still want him in uniform? So let's go and bring on that longtime Spurs fan, Eddie Aguero. Welcome to Locked On Spurs.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
You know, before we begin, how long have you been a Spurs fan?
Oh, since I was a kid, since a little kid. San Antonio has been home my entire life, born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. And, you know, Spurs basketball is always one of my fondest memories. I can remember going all the way back to when my grandfather was still alive. We'd sit down, we'd all sit down. It was back in the days when there was only really one TV in the house. So if Grandpa was watching the Spurs game, guess what? That's what everybody was watching. But you learned to love it, and it was really great. It was something that we could all bond over. And I can remember as far back as going to my first game in the Alamo Dome. I was not old enough to go down to the Hemisphere Arena, but I remember going to the Alamo Dome when that opened up and the Spurs were using only half of that and stuff. But it was great. It was good times.
Well, good stuff. Yeah, I can tell you, I've been to that Hemisphere Arena when I was a kid. And yeah. Just a little history. The Hemisphere Arena, you only used to have one level. It didn't have the two levels. And then they remodeled it. They added the second floor. And that's how you got the obstructed view. And yes, I've sat on those obstructed view seats when I was a kid. And it was not fun. I always got the short end of the stick. My dad or my cousins or whoever was with me. And the deal was, Jeff, you can sit in the obstructed view, which it literally was an obstructive view. I remember leaning over to go, we'll get you an extra drink or an extra soda. I said, okay, fine. That's a good trade. So whatever. Yeah. But they were cheap. I remember them being only $5. I remember the obstructive seats only being $5. But hey, the Spurs are living fancy life now out in the AT&T Center. But hey, speaking of the Spurs, it more or less is the midway point of the Spurs season. The Spurs, at least as we talk, they're still below 500. I believe they're 19-23. And, they've gotten better, Eddie. They're not the way they looked to start the season. You know, remember with the 8-game losing streak, getting trounced left and right. They gotten better. So with that being said, and I also got to throw in here, Eddie, they have beaten some of the top teams in the NBA, Bucks, Celtics and Raptors, so let's throw out that, even the Clippers as well. What do Spurs fans have to say about the Spurs at the midway point? In other words, Eddie, what is the state of the Spurs according to the Spurs fans?
Well, I mean, from my point of view, I feel like it just all the Spurs fan base is pretty much sitting back watching this, for lack of a better term, I guess, like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type situation with the Spurs, where you absolutely know you don't know what you're going to get from one night to the next, which in kind of a weird way has kind of made the season both exciting and kind of infuriating at times, because like you said, we're going out there and we're absolutely, playing like an all-star level caliber team against the top teams in the East and a few top teams in the West. And, when it comes down to the teams that we should be rolling over, that's not the case. And in the past, it kind of has been the Spurs' MO in the past to, take care of business whenever they need to take care of business. And that's, of course, during the Tim Duncan days and everything like that. But, as far as the younger Spurs fan base goes, I feel like, we are just so spoiled with everything that, you know, we have been handed with the championships and, mm-hmm. and the playoff appearances and just these caliber players of, you know, folks like Patty Mills is kind of like last of that generation where they wanted to come in and they loved it here. They fell in love with the city and they mm-hmm. fell in love with the fan base and they know that everybody's so loyal and they just want to stick around. And like I said, it's really kind of tough because social media is such a huge thing now.
Oh, it is.
It's such a big thing. And I feel like a lot of the fans, you know, they can be a bit, you know, pretty ruthless. I myself have been kind of guilty. I kind of try to hold back a bit and you know, keep my opinions to myself. But sometimes you can't help it. Like you get, like I said, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation, especially when it comes to players like Bryn Forbes, where you don't know if the guy's going to come out and be, you know, Steph Curry one night or his brother the following night. You know, it doesn't, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from one night to the next. And that's really, really frustrating for the fan base. And, you know, especially, like I said, when they're so used to just such a high level of play. And we're kind of caught in this trap now where everybody's just like, oh, ship Marco out, ship Bryn out. You know, we could do so much better than this and this and that. You know, I feel like you have to kind of lean back on that whole, you know, trust in Pop, trust in the situation. You know, the standard is the standard when it comes to San Antonio. And like I said, it can be frustrating, but you have to kind of keep the faith. And I think that for the most part, the fan base is keeping the faith and they are trusting the system and they are trusting Pop and Coach Becky and Tim and everybody. And, you know, we'll see where we're at.
It's funny you mention that because a lot of Spurs fans, I've seen, whether it be on social media or private interactions with them, is some of them are kind of like a little bit cold shoulder with Pop. Some blame Pop for what we see mm-hmm. on the court, whether it be the rotations, you know, it's almost like a drinking game now during games. You could say, like, who's going to be the first one, Spurs fan, to call out the fact that Bryn Forbes and Bellinelli are on the court when White and Walker are on the bench, you know, for defensive purposes,
right.
You know, it's gotten to that point now where it's almost clockwork. So it's interesting you say that Spurs fans still believe in Popovich and the Spurs system. Do they? I mean, do Spurs fans really, truly believe Pop in today's modern NBA and what he was brought in? Does it still work?
See, me, I'm kind of sitting back and I'm looking at the bigger picture, I guess, you know, because mm-hmm. we do have that nostalgia. You do have that nostalgia and you feel like, man, you know, we look at where we were at before Pop got here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look at the team that we are. But then you have to remember who came along. There are some a pretty amazing trio that came along and changed the whole face of this franchise and pointed it in that direction. And you almost feel like Pop is kicking and screaming to go into the 21st century and to this new shooters league. I mean, that's exactly what it is now. The days mm-hmm. of the post-up big man are you know, rapidly fading away. And, you know, case in point, look at Aldridge's game this season alone. I mean, mm-hmm. how that has changed. You remember the seasons past and back in his days in Portland, you dump the ball down to him in the post. And I mean, granted, Aldridge has a great shot. He's a great perimeter shooter from the elbow for the key, the top of the key. But I mean, you know, look at him now where you would expect him to get the ball dumped into him down low, back in and do a turnaround fadeaway jump shot. He's mm-hmm. instantly going out to the 3-point line to pull the defense out to the 3-point line. So, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't situation when it comes to that, because if he's out there and he's missing threes or he's not making those buckets, you're like, what are you doing? You're a center. Mm-hmm. Get down to the bottom, you know. But that's the shape of the league. And the way things are going now. And I, you know, Popovich has gone publicly on this, as you know, have said that he hates it. He finds a 3-point mm-hmm. shot boring, makes the game less interesting. All the fundamentals are out of it. But I mean, you know, it's just a sign of the time. These kids are coming up in middle school and high school and things like that, where they're developing jump shots, even as, you know, 6'6" high school centers or, you know, things like that. Their game all around has evolved. And mm-hmm. I mean, case in point, I think Dirk Nowitzki was probably the first big man that I remember from my generation that had that outside shot. And now it's really amazing to see that this league is evolving into that. And whether Pop likes it or not, he's going to have to go along to get along.
Yeah, look, we're going to talk about him in a few minutes, but you're talking about the 3-point shot. If it wasn't for Bryn Forbes versus Phoenix, I'm pretty sure the Spurs don't get the W because we saw what happened in the fourth quarter. That 20-point lead evaporated. And this, without that three-point heroics from Brin, maybe the Spurs get an L out in Phoenix. And, of course, you know,
right,
Marcus Aldridge, he's adjusted his game, as you mentioned, to now incorporate the three line, et cetera, et cetera. So you're right. Spurs fans, in my opinion, I think the fan base is a little bit divided when it comes to that, you know, Spurs system, Popovich versus does it work and doesn't work. It's still there. You know, you're one night you get your big wins versus Boston and Toronto, and then you get your losses to Memphis and then a squeaker win versus Phoenix. So it's interesting just how the fans react to the Spurs team, because I've been with the Spurs team longer than you have, and there were some dark times. There were times I remember growing up in San Antonio when in the news it was talk about potential of the team leaving the city, leaving, being relocated. Mm-hmm. And a lot of fans nowadays are already old enough to be just surrounded by the Big Three era and the memories of that and growing up with their parents and, you know, seeing Timmy and Manu and Tony and Pop excel and the titles and the river parades. And now this, there was a time when Vinnie Johnson and Dominique Wilkins were their best players in San Antonio. Yeah. The microwave Vinnie Johnson played in San Antonio. So it's interesting to see, you know, for me, I just roll with it. When I've been on record in San Antonio radio saying like, it's not my place to tell Spurs fans what to think or how to act or how to react. If they're going to play it, make a fool of themselves, that's them. If they want to call out Pop, that's on them. You know, I'm not going to be drug into that. But, you know, I always feel like sometimes Spurs fans, in this case you, can give us some feedback on what the fan base is thinking about. So am I correct to say that at this moment in time, Eddie, at the midseason point for your San Antonio Spurs, do Spurs fans feel the team is okay, garbage, or still has potential to do something, at least in the second half of the season?
I mean, like I, you know, had said before, and I've gone on Twitter and said this is probably one of the most polarizing Spurs teams that we've had since before the Tim Duncan days. You know, you get everybody's opinions on one side of the fence that's saying, what are we doing? We're obviously not going to get anything higher than the eight seed of the playoffs. Stop what you're doing. Let's develop these kids, move them up, let them play, bring these kids in from the G League. You know, if we bottom out, we bottom out, but at least we're going to get these kids playing time. We're going to be ready. We'll get into the draft and we'll start this rebuild phase now. I mean, it's so polarizing, you know, because that entire group of people is like tank, tank, tank. Let's rebuild. We need to rebuild. We're long overdue for a rebuild. You know, let's do that. And then you have the other Spurs fans. And like I said, I kind of feel like it's a bit of a generational gap. You know, like I said, the fans that have been around before the Tim Duncan era, and they, like you said, struggled through all those dark times, saw that everything, you know, what was before Tim Duncan came along, and they, you know, kind of evolved into that generation of Spurs. Those are the fans, much like myself, that they, you know, they trust in the system, they trust in Pop to an extent. Now, with that being said, I personally was one of the folks that thought that this was going to be, especially with the tragedy that he suffered, you know, this past season, that this would be the year that Popovich would hang it up and he'd, you know, hand the reins over to Becky and let her, you know, run the team. And then when I heard Tim was going to come along, that even led me to believe even more so that, you know, Popovich was, you know, already getting ready to shift into that mentality that, all right, my time has come and passed. Let me hand it over to these assistant coaches and let's see what they can do with this team. But like I said, as far as me personally, I feel like the Spurs need to do everything that they can to hang on to DeMar, you know, offer him a contract. But just even though his shot has come along, the Spurs need to move on from Aldridge. I was not a fan of them holding on to him from the beginning, trying to get him to stay. I just didn't feel like he fit into the scheme of things, especially, like I said, as the league has evolved into a shooter's league, just the day of the big man down in the post is rapidly fading away. So, like I said, I'm on the positive side. I'd like to, you know, trust in the system, believe in Pop, believe in the coaches, that they know what they can do, keep that playoff streak alive, even if we do get in at the eighth seed. But I can also see the other side of the fence as well, where we do need to develop these younger players and we do need to prepare for next season, and we do need to prepare for the future. I am one of the folks that is extremely infuriated seeing Lonnie Walker sit on the bench in crunch time, and Marco Bellinelli is out there just sucking up all of his minutes. I am one of those fans.
I'm well aware of how Spurs fans feel about that topic. All right. Well, in a second, by the way, thank you, Eddie, for giving us the fan base report for the San Antonio Spurs at the midseason point. So that was very appreciated. But I'm not done with you yet. When we get back, Eddie and I are going to shift now and to talk about a specific player, Bryn Forbes. Welcome back. I'm talking with Eddie Aguero. He is a longtime Spurs fan, and he has given us some feedback on what the Spurs fan base feel about your San Antonio Spurs. Now, in the first segment, he talked about what fans are thinking about the team at the halfway point. And now we're going to talk about Bryn Forbes. Eddie, look, Bryn Forbes is a free agent after this season's over. And, last season he filled in when they needed him, when DeJounte Murray got that bad injury and he was out for the season. Look, versus Phoenix, he looked like he should get an invite to the three-point contest. And his 7 threes made, and broke his own record, a career high, 20-something points. But often, more than not, he's kind of been streaky, more cold than hot this season. But he is, and he does, and he as a player represents what the NBA is nowadays: three-point shooters. They dominate. All right, let's get to it, Eddie. What is the pulse of the Spurs fan base when it comes to Bryn Forbes?
Well, we were discussing earlier, I feel like the general consensus on Bryn Forbes is that it's time to move on. You said, he's going to be a free agent after this season. The shape of the league and everything, where you're getting these scores that it's 120-something to 130-something, defensive. The defensive schemes of teams and stuff like that is not what it used to be. You're not in the league anymore where you have guys that are 3-and-D like Bruce Bowen. You don't have Bruce Bowen out there on the wing anymore. Defensive play is not exactly a high priority if you can have a team out there making 15 threes a game. Like it's been said, more often than not, if you can make 15 threes in a game, your chances are pretty good that you're going to win that game. All you have to do is outshoot the other team. Then that seems to be the mentality going forward with this league. Now, when it comes to Bryn Forbes, you're pointing out that he's had a streaky season, but when has he not had a streaky season? Mm-hmm. Bryn Forbes has been streaky since he was coming up, from his rookie season. I feel like Spurs fans fell in love with him because he was clutch in certain situations where he needed to be clutch. And he fought and scrapped for all the minutes that he got. And he made his way onto to Pop's regular rotation, and with Tony Parker moving on from the team, of course, he got a lot more time to shine with DeJounte Murray getting hurt and things like that. But the defensive end of the ball, he struggles so much. He struggles so much on that side of the ball. I can't tell you how infuriating it is as a fan to see a guy like that, just give up on a play, do the whole ole routine when guys are just blowing by him to go to the rim, or, taller point guards in the league as well, shooting right over the top of him, But like I said, I think when it comes down to what you're going to do with him, if the Spurs offer him an extension, I think that is a big mistake.
Yeah. You're looking at this season, he's averaging 11 points per game, 2.3 rebounds, 1.8 assists, shooting 40% from the field, 37% from the three-point line, 83% from the free throw line in about 25 minutes. Look, you look at the last game, as you mentioned, he had actually specifically 24 points. I'm sorry, I stand corrected, 24 points versus the Suns. I got to ask you this. Look, he has done some stuff in his short time in San Antonio. He's the second fastest Spur ever to make career threes, at least hitting the 350 career threes, he's averaging a career best 2.23 makes per game this season. And he's even tied a career high in assists this season back in November. So there's that. Eddie, does that make you feel the Spurs should consider keeping him on?
Well, yeah, like I said, I think that that's you know, that's still, you have to look at it from both sides of the ball. I feel like he's still a liability defensively. You know, like I said, just the streaky shooting, it's not enough to warrant an extension contract. I mean, if he comes on for less money, takes kind of a cut, where, you know, when it comes down to like situations like Tim Duncan had done in the past for the Spurs to better develop the roster, then that's something that, of course, the Spurs would, I feel they would consider, of course. But I mean, just given that it is a shooter's league, you know, as mm-hmm. well as I do, Jeff, there's going to be plenty of teams out there that are willing to throw bags of money at him just for his shooting ability. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. But I feel like where this team is at right now, with the growth that they need to be doing, a shooter like Forbes is kind of a dime a dozen, you know. So I feel like the Spurs can go out there and get somebody to replace him that's better defensively and just move forward from there.
And by the way, quick correction, I actually made 8 three-pointers versus the Suns recently. So just a quick clarification.
Okay, there. I take it all back.
No. All right, Eddie, you know, I think there's no secret. You mentioned it, you know, defensively, and he does come up short, pun intended, because he's physically just not a taller guy. He added some muscle to his frame over the offseason. It really hasn't really panned out. At the end of the day, and do Spurs fans want him in uniform next season?
Honestly, I'm going to have to say no. I feel like, you know, his time to show what he can do has been well displayed. I feel like he's shown his entirety of his game. I mean, of course, with any given player over a stretch of time, their game is always going to evolve. Case in point, look at Vince Carter. He's been playing since the ABA days, and mm-hmm. he's doing things that, you know, he's doing things that he never would have done in the beginning of his career. Of course, you know, age changes everybody, but he, you know, players are always able to evolve if they're good enough, you know, mm-hmm. and I feel like the ones that are the ones that have extreme longevity in the league are the ones that have evolved best. You know, so there's no, I mean, I'm not saying that there's definitely not a chance that he could never, ever evolve into a better defensive player. But for what the Spurs need right now and the guards that they have on the current roster, I feel like he's just an extra piece that they just definitely do not necessarily need to get where they need to be.
Can you imagine this, though? Okay, fine. The Spurs pass on him. You know, they thank him for his service and they let him go. He winds up on a team with, like, the Lakers or Dallas or the Warriors, you know, where they get, you know, Thompson back and, you know, we'll see what their future holds, or goes east and he joins the Bucks or something like that. I mean, a team like that, there will be an NBA team that will pick him up if the Spurs do pass on him. Yeah, I think he'll be okay. So, but yeah, it looks like, well, at least according to Eddie, the Spurs fans would rather not see Bryn Forbes in the uniform, silver and black, that is, next season. When we get back, Eddie and I are continue our chat about the Spurs fans and how they feel about the silver and black. We are back, and I'm joined by Eddie Aguero. Eddie, you know, by the way, he's a longtime Spurs fan, and he's repping San Antonio Spurs fans today on this episode of Locked On Spurs. Eddie, I feel so bad. I forgot. This is my bad. What is your Twitter handle? How can fans talk to you about what you just said on this episode of Locked On Spurs?
It's at Eddie the Great 84.
Eddie the Great? Really? You're that great that you have to put in great in your Twitter handle?
No, that just stems from being a long Iron Maiden fan.
Oh, okay.
They had a compilation album called Edward the Great. I love that.
and that, you said that was Iron Maiden?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, you know. You know, San Antonio is known for its rock fandom or metal fandom, so I can see that. Eddie, you know, before I let you go, and by the way, thanks for repping the Spurs fan base today. Got to ask this. I've been asking all fans who come on this show this one question. Do the Spurs make the playoffs, yes or no?
Yes. I feel like the Spurs are going to get this running when it comes to the when it comes to the rodeo road trip, of course, just like every team in the past, it's become kind of a tell point of where the team is going to be at by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I feel like Aldridge and DeMar, of course, barring any injuries, anything like that, I feel like they're coming together more cohesively this season, and they'll carry the load. Derek White, you know, he's been so hit or miss this season, but I feel like given the game that he had last night, it's just a sign that he's, you know, moving in the right direction. Lonnie Walker, I feel, will eventually absorb more of those minutes that Marco's going to get. Bellinelli's always going to be Bellinelli. He'll come in and get you a three when you need it in the clutch. And I feel, like I said, as far as Spurs fans, we're always optimistic. We're always positive. We love this team because, let's face facts, it's the only pro team that we got. And, I mean, realistically, it's probably the only pro team we'll ever get. So this team is the heartbeat of the city. And I feel like as Spurs fans, we're always going to be ride or die, and we always keep the faith.
Yeah, I think ride or die has been magnified this season, the way fans have been reacting.
Definitely tested, that's for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, and before I let you go, just one more thing. What do you give? Oh, let me rephrase that. What do you think the Spurs fan base will, as far as grading-wise, will give the Spurs at this point of the season, the midway point? An A, a B, a C, a D, or an F?
I'm going to give them a C.
Okay, why? Like, why is that? Okay, C minus. Why?
Just the inconsistency. Just the just because of the frustration that they, you know, they're kind of putting the fans through right now. Like we touched on earlier, where you can come out and you compete at such a high level that you're looking like an all-star caliber team that's taking care of the top-notch teams in the East and some in the West, and then you come out and you lay an egg against a team like the Memphis Grizzlies, who, by the way, is coming up right now. And if I'm not mistaken, right, I believe they are ahead of the Spurs right now, but I mean, you're not. Those are the games that you should be taking care of business, and you're not. I mean, look at the Atlanta Hawks game. That was just embarrassing. So, just those little tweaks. They need to play for the full 48 minutes. Like I know a lot of Spurs fans have touched on before, we've just come out flat in the second half of basketball games, and closing out games has just been critical this season, and they just have not found the proper way to do that. So I can't give them anything more than a C minus right now.
All right, there you go. A C minus. Oh, so Eddie,
it's passing.
It's passing, yeah. Well, Eddie gave out his grade, at least according to the fan base. But do you disagree with him or agree with him? You can let him know at the Twitter handle he just gave out a few minutes ago. And if you want to talk to me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. So much there for you to discover about the San Antonio Spurs from this show. Hey, what do the Spurs and Suns have to say following the recent match that they had? It's all there at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. It's real simple. Just subscribe. And if you go on iTunes, give us a bunch of stars. I would appreciate that. So once again, Eddie, thank you for repping the Spurs fan base today. So for Eddie Aguero, I am Jeff Garcia. He and I, we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.